I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm going to greet you a little bit differently today, and say as a member of your community, it's more than honorary now, as the corporation and the council of the parish have asked me to come and do some work over this year. I'll be coming four times. This is the first of four visits. And so I'll get a chance to meet so many more of you than I have up to this point. I want to do something that's really difficult, is take this beautiful story of the wise man that come to see the baby Jesus. We, all of us, over the years of having Christmas, think so beautifully about that image of the camels coming across the desert and the wise men coming and putting their gifts in front of the Christ child and seeing Mary and Joseph and the child in the manger with a donkey and an ox and, well, you know, you've got the picture. It's a beautiful picture. But what we need to do today is do a little bit of searching all of the story, which is really important, and we'll do so through the eyes of Paul. In this story about the Epiphany, which is the manifestation of Jesus in the world to humanity, what we have is really a shift of paradigm for us today. We don't live in those days when those images were, you know, we see them as distant images. I mean, when was the last time you saw a camel going along Elgin? Although there's always been machinations among politicians, it's a totally different story. The story happens during the bloody occupation of the Roman army. And that's the backdrop here of all of this. And so there's a paradigm shift that we need to sort of engage in. Now, a paradigm serves as a pattern or model. It is a set of assumptions, of understandings, that constitute a way of viewing reality. Now, Paul, in his letter today, really is talking about something that was really important to him, and that is the nearness of God. He mentions it in many of his letters, the nearness of God. Now, this whole concept of nearness of God is really difficult for us. I don't know that necessarily we always have this sense of God being near. We have a sense often of God being responsive or God being engaged, or, you know, and when we pray, there's a sense in which we're praying in the presence of God. But, you know, I mean, if I was to say to you, for instance, you know, your partner or your child comes home to visit and your child is near you, there is a tangibility and a reality of that that, in a sense, is so different. And yet, to Paul, his whole raison d'etre was to come to the Gentiles of his time and to say to them, you are included in the great dispensation. You are not people far away from God, but in fact, you too are called. And so the story that we see in the Bible is a story that is beautiful, but in a sense, it doesn't take us to the point we need to be. And that's why Paul spoke to us in his letter to the Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. So Paul sees himself in this pivotal role as bringing the commission of God to the people of God, and in this case, including the Gentiles. And this changed the whole understanding of the church. Because salvation history, as we read in the Hebrew scriptures, was for the people of Israel. But now that dispensation is going to be shared universally. And how that is perceived by Paul is important. Paul goes on to speak about the responses that we have to this call of God. He says, in former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, that is, the dispensation was for the people of Israel, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus. So the whole picture of the reality of God's grace working in the world is now shifting to this cosmic universal level, whereby everyone is invited to be part of the kingdom of God. Now that changes our whole understanding of what the church is. And we know how difficult it is to think in those cosmic terms. I mean, you know, look in the world today at the refugee crisis and the immigration crisis. The very reality of those crises has to do with whether those people belong in our country, in our region, with us. It goes to the very heart of who we are and how close are we to our brothers and sisters who live in different places and are enduring far different realities than we are. But Paul is saying that this dispensation, this giving of Jesus Christ has been given universally to everyone. Although I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan and the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So what we have is a situation in which Paul is saying, we're starting something new here. The old order is in the process of passing away. Now I want to come down to three small concepts that are important in this. And we see it in the last sentence that we heard today. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. So, what we see then is that our identity becomes a new identity, at least through Paul's understanding of what is changing, and that is that we are identified as God's own, as co-heirs with Christ to what God has established and has made manifest. Further to that, we are given a mandate or a mission, and that is that we care for people, that we live not for ourselves but for others. And we see this most clearly in the psalm today. I won't go into the psalm at all, but just to say, if you look at the psalm, you'll see that the king will rule your people righteously and the poor with justice. He will bring prosperity to the people. He shall defend the needy. He shall rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. I mean, this whole understanding goes right to the heart of the law of Israel. But it is now moved from the law of Israel to the law of the cosmic reality of Jesus Christ working through us in the church. So the mandate and mission, therefore, becomes far broader and means that you and I are integrated into that ministry. But the greatest gift that Paul outlines for us through the scriptures today is the gift of hope. My friends, look at the world. We're in bad shape. Not only do billions of people continue to die of starvation, or billions of people don't have adequate water, or education, or any of the things that we take for granted in our country, but more to the point, our political leaders are paralyzed. They do not have the answers. They do not work together. The center will not hold. But, Paul says, that's not the point. The point is Jesus Christ is the center. And we have access to Jesus Christ. And we are co-heirs with Christ of this world. And if we allow our hearts and our minds to be shaped by the love and the faith that is in Jesus Christ, then the world will begin to move in the direction it needs to. But it will take all of us. There's not one person here today who's left out of this equation. Not one person. Whether you be old, young, whether you be disabled, whatever the situation is, we need you, and we need you badly at this point. And so this lovely story of the coming of the kings and all that warm feeling that we have about that story is lovely. But behind that story is the most important thing that we can understand, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as Lord, we owe him our life, our love, our faith, and the hope that we might make a difference in the world we live in today. Amen.